June 14th, 2022. Ed Horn appeared to be asleep when I arrived at the coffee shop at Yonge and Wellesley in Toronto. I'd wanted to meet him for many years, and finally I was able to do it after numerous chats over Facebook Messenger. The book was mostly completed by the time I met him. This was mainly a courtesy meeting, a meeting to show him that I was real and I meant business. He was sitting alone at a table for two, holding his cell phone as it rested in his lap. I knew it was him as soon as I walked in. I'd seen photos of him as a teenager in newspaper clippings from British Columbia, where he grew up. I'd seen him in person once, in May 2005, in an Iqaluit courtroom, head bowed, facing new criminal sex charges. This man before me was 78 years old, wearing light-colored denim jeans, a fluorescent green-yellow vest with a couple of rainbow pins on it that stated a solidarity with the Pride movement, and a weathered baseball cap. He came across as non-threatening. Perhaps it was his stooped back or his somewhat shy demeanor. I was aware Horn suffered from serious hearing loss, so I made a point of speaking clearly and at a decent volume. He once had a deep, authoritative voice, but the tone was now diminished. He made eye contact when we talked, a departure from his usual style throughout his life of not looking directly at people. I didn't think I'd be able to eat or drink a coffee with him, given all I knew about his disgusting crimes, but much to my surprise, I was comfortable sitting at a very small table with him for over an hour. The fact that Horn didn't give off an overpowering creepiness, at least not to me that day, was notable. Perhaps, I thought afterward, it was this ability he has to create such feelings of normalcy that enabled him to abuse so many children and get away with it for so long.